The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the stuff that you own is actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values, and as well as your financial goals. And there's really, really peace of mind when you sense that your financial goals and your convictions are in sync and aligned with your money as well. There is really a lot of anxiety that occurs when that kind of alignment doesn't exist.
But you know, that's easier said than done, James. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day, and that can actually be very overwhelming. Terminology, ideas, and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all this information can be downright confusing.
Yeah.
And possibly even scary.
Yeah. And when you're confused or scared, even, you don't make good decisions.
That's right.
Right. And that can hurt you really badly. It can keep you from being all that God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are on episode 9.
That's right.
Wow. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
Co-hosting.
Money and Mission.
Money and Mission right here on Holy Family Radio. Great big shout out to the folks here at Money and Mission. If you happen to be around and you see Joe.
Holy Family Radio. You said Money and Mission.
Oh, so I did.
Yeah.
Can here you cut that piece out, Joe?
whatever works.
That's right.
Whatever works. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, yeah, a great big shout out to the folks here on Holy Family Radio. If you are out and about and you happen to see Joe Nebestinski or Joe Murphy, just let them know. Just say, hey, thanks so much for all that you guys are doing over there. Part of the way through the show, we'll get to our weekly puzzler.
That's right.
A weekly puzzler is a brain teaser. It's a puzzle and that we'll share with you. And as we always say, we don't know if the puzzle will be interesting to you, but it was interesting to us. And it often falls in the category of dad jokes.
Yeah.
That's right.
They actually do. Well, let's get into the first part of our show, James, where we discuss our week in review. What did you think was the financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Yeah, so all eyes, it seems, are on CPI.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, we've talked about the Consumer Price Index here on this podcast in earlier episodes, but the Fed, of course, everybody's expecting the Fed is going to cut rates because CPI is slowing down, or it feels like it's coming down, and that the Fed feels like the economy might be slowing, so they feel like they can cut rates. But so right. Everybody's watching CPI.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't hear really anybody talking about is PPI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Producer Price Index. So you have the Consumer Price Index, but what about the Producer Price Index?
Right, and that can be equally as important.
Yeah, so the Producer Price Index really then is all about the pipeline, if you will, that raw materials take to turn into a product or service that people buy, which is the CPI.
Mm-hmm. So like intermediate sort of products that get used as a final product that we purchase.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To kind of wrap our heads around what that means, intermediate type products. I mean, you found an interesting illustration or an interesting example, right? Right.
So a good analogy would be like if you were a baker. So all of the wheat, the yeast, and all the other ingredients that you need to make your loaf of bread or whatever your baking products are.
The cost of the pan that it goes in, mm-hmm. what it costs you to fire up the ovens. These are all things as a baker you need to buy so that you can have a final product.
And when the prices of those intermediate products go up or down, then ultimately that can affect the price of the final product, correct?
It does. That's right. Because if the cost of your ingredients goes up, then you have to raise the price of your loaf of bread. Mm-hmm. So the loaf of bread itself is referred to as, or the demand for that loaf of bread is referred to as a final demand. But what's intermediate demand? So intermediate demand would really be like whoever delivers the gas to fire up the oven.
Right.
Right. So now the baker buys gas from maybe a utility company. Well, that's an intermediate demand. So anywhere where there's a product or service that's provided, where the people who purchase that product or service turn around and use it to make something else, then that's intermediate demand. And some products and services have several different intermediate demand levels, right? Where maybe the corn goes to somewhere where it's now pounded and turned into flour, and then that, or the wheat, I guess I should say, right? You know, gets somewhere. And so there could be a couple of different stops along the way before that turns into
refining that into a different ingredient.
That's right, the product. Mm-hmm. So what we usually don't think about when we think about, you know, again, prices coming down or the impact of prices throughout, as it's called, the supply chain, is that, again, if the cost of fuel goes up, or if the cost of what it costs to pay a truck driver to move commodities from point A to point B so that there can actually be a loaf of bread, well, that impacts. There's a domino effect all the way along the supply chain, and that's called the producer price index, right? And if an economy is the sum total of all these little transactions between people, there are actually more than 10,000 little things to track like that all through an economy.
We were looking through that document you have, and there's all kind of different industries in there.
That's right. 35 pages in such small print that you need a magnifying glass to actually track it all, right? So we just don't think about all the stuff in the pipeline when we think about inflation, right, and the cost of that.
Well, now that we know what the producer price index is, why has it been in the news recently?
Well, it actually hasn't been in the news recently.
Mm.
Now, it is reported.
I thought, that report that came out.
It's reported by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics.
It's news for nerds.
That's right. It's news for nerds. That's right. No, these are just things that we track. We track because we're in the business of managing portfolios and mm-hmm. managing money. So these kinds of statistics mean are important to us in how we structure things there. But you know, we had a question last week that we should probably take a couple of minutes to discuss here.
Yeah, Joe Murphy last week, he asked us, you know, how are those jobs determined? How do you determine those figures on some of these reports that we're reading on the air?
That's right, because last week we were talking about new jobs created and downward revisions. And it just seems like every time there's a jobs report, it's like, oops, a month later, we're revising the number down, mm-hmm. right? And we created a lot fewer jobs than we thought we did. How in the world does that work? And where does that number come to begin with, right?
Do you notice that revisions normally are downgraded or upgraded, equally split? How would you say?
Frankly, as long as I've been tracking it, it seems like the revisions are all down.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, like we thought we created 200,000 jobs, but oops, we only created 130,000 jobs, right? And over a trailing 12-month basis, I think the downward revision is like a third. It's really significant. So, but you can track that information by going out to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics website and reading all of those statistical reports. Or you can keep tuning into Money and Mission, and we'll try to summarize it for you periodically. We don't have time to cover all the details, but we'll try to cover some of the highlights like that. Mm-hmm. So where does those jobs numbers come from? Well, there is this thing called the Survey of Establishments. And the Survey of Establishments does something that's called a payroll survey. And so they just send out to all the businesses and all the employers, and they ask them to estimate the number of people who are receiving a paycheck in their particular organization. And when that happens, then that information is compiled and it turns into an estimate of the number of jobs that were created.
Yes, but it's also important to note that that only counts those receiving paychecks, correct? So that wouldn't include like self-employed folks or gig jobs.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, and we've known that the gig community, the job community has been growing the past years.
It has, because apparently payroll is getting harder to come by. Right? And right. So people are reaching out and doing gig jobs or side jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So anyway, hopefully that's helpful. But if you have any questions ever about anything that we present here on Money and Mission, you can send us an email and we're happy to try to cover that for you as well.
And we also have a book we'd like to reference, right?
Well, this is true. And an author, Lori Ann LaRocco, wrote a book called Trade War, Containers Don't Lie, Navigating the Bluster. And really in this book and a couple of other books that she's written, she references and talks about shipping and the importance of stuff getting shipped back and forth and how that relates to economic either growth or economic contraction. And at least I find books like these to be very interesting, right? But as we said before, you know, statistics and, you know, maybe I'm a statistic nerd. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, it's pretty important. Maritime shipping accounts for about 90% of the world trade volume.
Yeah, it's just enormous. The amount of stuff that we put on ships, big, big, big container ships, and then we send it across the ocean and around the globe and so on.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue up with our SMART goals. Now we're up to the letter A, so we'll be talking about how your definition of success must be achievable. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And as you noted, Eric, going out of our first segment, we are working through SMART,
mm-hmm.
where we've talked about understanding your definition of success and how important it is to have that definition written down. And but according to the classic definition of SMART, or the classic presentation anyway, SMART is an acronym where the S stands for being specific, the M stands for being measurable, and the A stands for achievable.
That's right.
But, you know, if there's only one thing that you get out of today's discussion, I hope that you'll remember that there are actually two more A's.
Mm-hmm.
That should be in SMART. Now, that's my opinion. It's not the standard presentation of SMART, but we'll talk about that. The importance is that these other two A's have to be present if the achievable part is going to work. They just can't. We'll get to those other two A's in a few minutes. But first, let's just realize that there is a conundrum presented by the word achievable. I think conundrum is the right word.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
What a conundrum is...
Oh, it's like an issue.
Yeah, it's an issue. It's a catch 22 or something, right? Our definition of something that's achievable, or our understanding of something that's achievable, is usually tied to our understanding of what is realistic.
That's true.
Therefore, our definition of success is often limited by our own perception of what is realistic.
And that can be different for different folks.
That's right. It can be different for different folks. Some people have big,
lofty goals,
lofty definitions of what's realistic. And other times people freeze in place and think, oh my goodness, that could never happen. And so then their definition of success is limited by their understanding of what is possible and what's realistic. Now, let's just say at the outset, right, we are big fans of being realistic.
Yes.
We are. But if you're listening to this podcast, we want you to know that it's important to allow God to challenge and expand your thinking and your understanding of what's realistic.
That's true.
And what's achievable. Mm-hmm. Right? There is somewhere in the biblical text, it says, with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. Right. But there's a difference between being crazy and following God's call into what might seem to be unachievable.
Yeah. And I think it's more important to remember that realistic doesn't mean settling for mediocrity. Mm. You know, that can mean just setting goals that are challenging but attainable within the resources and the time frame that we have available for us.
Yeah. So if you're thinking, oh my goodness, that just doesn't seem very realistic, I'm going to keep bringing my understanding of what's achievable, I'm going to keep bringing it down and down and down until suddenly it's just mediocre. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
No, not
here.
At all.
Now, it's important also to say that whenever we do say whether we think something is achievable, we're making an assumption about the future.
That's true. That's a great point.
Right. And again, in the Bible, it tells us that we should not just say, oh, tomorrow we're going to do this or tomorrow we're going to do that. We should always say, you know, God willing, right? If God wills, tomorrow we will do this. So because none of us knows the future, only God knows the future.
Mm-hmm. It's important, you know, to have flexibility and be adaptable in our financial planning, right?
That's right.
Unexpected events can always arise. We never know from where, so it's important to be prepared and just to adjust our course as needed.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. If we allow our own understanding to kind of limit our definition of success, we run the risk of missing what God might have for us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. I just think we're going to talk about some really specific examples and cases in point. But I think to myself, what if the Ursuline sisters, we've referenced them before here, but what if the Ursuline sisters had just kind of said, oh, my goodness, this isn't realistic. This is not possible. Mm-hmm. And then what we know today as Catholic Charities may never have come into existence because they didn't. They just set out and started to go doing what they've were called to in their hearts.
And the old saying, if you shoot for the moon, you may land amongst the stars.
That's exactly right. So we don't want you to miss out on God's blessing because you're stuck in your own understanding of what might be realistic.
In your worldly thinking, your worldly thoughts and beliefs.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To not engage in a particular direction or endeavor because we think it's unachievable, inevitably has us staying at status quo.
Yeah, that's true. And like you said, the Bible is full of examples, you know, of people who are achieving seemingly impossible things through faith. And while we need to be wise, we shouldn't let fear or our limited thinking hold us back from God's best.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You know, I was talking this topic over with someone before we got here, and she said, wow, this is making me feel like I should be doing more. Mm. And I said, no, the point is really not that you should be doing more. The point is that you should be listening to God and where God might be steering you in your planning. right? And your financial planning and your business plan and so on and so forth. So without that vision, status quo just stays put. And it just stays status quo, right? Which sounds kind of redundant, but status quo is status quo. But think about it. You know, the reason Christopher Columbus sailed under Spanish influence and funding was that the other governments he approached for funding did not think that his vision was achievable.
He approached a few of them, too.
He approached a few. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess back then they thought the world was flat. You know, why should we dump money into an effort where you're just going to sail off the side of the globe?
That's right.
Or, I mean, the side of the world, right?
Uh-huh, the ocean just falls off or there's an ice wall out there somewhere.
That's right. So, you know, that just his voyage would never happen unless somebody thought that at least his vision was somewhat achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And because that happened, then someone felt. He felt free and he was freed up to be able to actually go do that. So I would say, too, it's important to recognize the difference between something that is unrealistic and something that is simply outside of our realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have true. To be aware of that. Like, you know, when Jesus fed this huge crowd of 5,000 people or more, I guess, with one tiny little lunch. That was certainly outside of everybody's realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But for God, it was no big deal.
No big deal.
That's right. So we have to recognize the difference between what's unrealistic and what's outside of our realm of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I don't know, if you were back then when Christopher Columbus was looking for funding, do you think you would have said, hey, I think that's achievable. I mean, try to put yourself in that space and time.
Not if my resources were finite. If I was a rich king, I would probably want to have that notoriety. But just putting yourself in their shoes and their way of thinking back then, and if you really thought the earth was flat or like, no, you're not going to spend everything you have on a crazy idea.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even, you know, 110 years ago or so, my grandfather was dating my grandmother and they were driving around in a horse-drawn sleigh. And I'm sure that if someone had said to him, hey, you're running late, just call her up.
Mm-hmm.
He would have said, yeah, he would have said, what does that mean? How do you call somebody up? Right. Because 110 years ago, they didn't have telephones.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not anywhere close to like what we have today. So it was outside of
his. You told someone you were meeting them on Tuesday at noon. You had to be there Tuesday at noon.
That's right. Yeah. Or the world didn't turn. So there was, you know, that was outside of his realm of understanding, but it was actually not even achievable back then because they didn't have some of the technology that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, as we go through the rest of our the rest of our time here today, we want to talk about some sort of case studies, if you will, cases in point of things that were either achievable or not achievable, and we'll maybe talk through why or why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, because I think it's so important to understand, to try to wrap our heads around this, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into those in our next segment.
So, yeah, we really should, we should take
the last,
it's time for this week's radio puzzle.
That's right. So do you want to do last week's or this week's?
I'll do last week's.
Okay.
If I can find last week's. You remember what last week's was?
I sure do.
Last week's was this. It was I have one, you have one. Everyone has one. If you remove the first letter, a bit remains. If you remove the second, bit still remains. And if you remove the third letter, it still remains.
What is that, James?
What is that? Drum roll, please. That's right. A habit.
Yep.
A habit.
I got that one.
You got that.
I felt mighty smart for that.
Yeah.
No, but okay, now on to this week's puzzler. So this week's puzzle is pretty good. And it is, James came up with this, I believe, right?
I did.
Yeah. So it is, I am brown, I have a head, I have a tail, but I don't have any legs. What am I? I'll repeat that for you. I'm brown, I have a head, I have a tail, but I don't have any legs. What am I?
Wow. Yeah, think that through. Send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the correct answer to the puzzle on next week's show.
That's right. I'm interested in see what folks come back with.
That's right. Do we have a couple seconds? You know, I was on vacation this past week, and we drove to Minnesota. And, you know, we went out Route 80 and Route 90 and just a wide open road. Partway out, you know, I saw the lights behind me and everything. I pulled over and he came up and he said, papers. And I said, scissors, I win.
Oh, my goodness.
I took off.
There's those dad jokes.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we'll be back after this break. In our next segment, we'll get into some of those examples of realistic or unrealistic. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we're continuing our conversation of SMART goals, right? Whereas S, SMART is an acronym, S stands for specific, M stands for measurable. And as we said in the last segment, A is all about being achievable.
That's right.
So we want to look at several just kind of profile situations and talk through whether or not we think these are achievable.
Mm-hmm. And whether or not they were realistic, unrealistic, right? When you're thinking about embarking on some of these.
That's right. Or if you find yourself in this kind of situation, is it achievable? And that's going to lead us to the second A.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Well, we'll get to that.
We'll hold off on that.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. So let's just kind of paint a scenario. Let's pretend that you have been saving and investing all of your life, and you now have, let's say, $1 million in an IRA or a 401k plan, and it's all pre-tax money, which means it has never been subjected to income tax.
And Uncle Sam's going to want a piece of that.
But let's say that, you know, this is reality for you, and you also have your definition of success and how you think about taxes is that you don't want to pay taxes, or you'd like to pay as few taxes as possible.
As legally required.
That's right. But you have all this money built up in a bucket, if you will, that has never been taxed. Mm-hmm. And you do have this thing called an IRS required minimum distribution, which means that somewhere along the way, you're going to, when you hit the age of somewhere over 70, you're going to have to
take some of that out.
Start taking money out. And guess what's going to happen when you start taking money out?
Have to pay taxes on
you have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And that just isn't aligned with your definition of success.
Right.
Right. So this is kind of an example. Do you think that's achievable? Is it realistic?
No, not to not pay tax on it. There are some strategies to try to mitigate that, but.
Right. I mean, unless you have significant charitable intent, where you could make qualified charitable distributions out of your IRA.
Explore other options like Roth conversions.
Yes. But even when you do a Roth conversion, you have to pay tax.
Yeah, you're paying less, though, if you do it right.
If you do it right over the long term, that's right. It depends on your tax bracket.
You won't pay none, that's for sure.
You won't pay none, that's right. So the bottom line is, you know, if you've built up all this money in pre-tax investment accounts and now you have to take the money out, well, paying less taxes simply may not be realistic, may not be achievable.
That's true.
The only action, oh, that's the next A, action.
Oh, Oop. Freudian slip there, James.
I guess we were going to like build up to that, you know, and so, but oh my goodness, we should practice more, right? But that second A that we referenced again, action. I mean, the action step you can take is to work with a financial advisor who can help you to understand what possibilities exist in trying to meet your tax goal in light of the circumstances you're in. Let's kind of use another profile situation. Let's pretend again you have investments that you've been making, and you're invested in maybe mutual funds that have stocks inside of them, or maybe you own stocks, and so you have most of your money is invested in the market, but you also don't want any more fluctuation in your account than let's say 1%. That's a mismatch.
That's not realistic.
That's not realistic.
No.
Whether it's achievable or not is something that we really, I don't know, we could discuss all day long and debate as to whether, but it simply isn't realistic, right?
Not to be exposed in a market like that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what kind of action could you take in a situation like that if, I guess, you could realign your portfolio to get more in line with your risk tolerance?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that, you know, you can have such small downturns and expect growth out of that at the same time. It just
that's right.
Doesn't align.
That's right. So, you know, we set these goals, we have this definition of success, and then we ask ourselves, is this achievable? And as we said in the first segment, you know, we have to decide whether or not our understanding of achievable is actually realistic. Somewhere along the way, though, people have a vision for something that could happen that isn't happening right now. Like even here, somewhere along the way, there was no such thing as Holy Family Radio.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time, right? How long ago was that, Joe? That's a pop quiz.
Well, no, pop quiz question. I think this is our 13th year. I could be wrong. It might be 14. But it's we're going into a four. This is the 14th because I was here. I've been here 12.
Right.
There we go.
So 15 years ago, there was no Holy Family Radio.
Yep.
It was just a vision, right? And a bunch of people got together and tried to decide whether this was achievable. And clearly it is.
Yes, it is.
Right.
I mean, we're here right now.
That's right. But somebody needed to break that down into action steps, or this would have never happened.
Yeah. And there was definitely a demand for it, right?
That's right.
You know, specific audience with an existing demand here in the area. So by someone having a good plan that was specific, measurable, and taking action.
That's right. So this whole idea of taking action is just critical, because without taking action, then these things that we call ideas and a vision and a definition of success just plain old doesn't happen. The Bible says it like this. It says faith without works is dead.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, you can have this idea, but if you don't do anything about it, nothing is going to happen.
And I know with the A for action, you have the no, believe, and do principle, right?
Well, yeah. So the no, believe, do principle is really all about you know something. Now, whether it's a principle that you know about or it's a conviction you have, you know something.
And that's important for taking action. Understanding the facts, the context, potential consequences of a situation is crucial for making informed decisions.
That's right.
And taking appropriate action.
That's right. So you know something. Then you have to decide if you believe what you actually know.
Having that confidence to execute.
That's right. You know, I would argue if you don't do anything about it, then you probably don't believe it to begin with. Unless you do believe it, and then you just sit there and you're so bothered. You know, can't sleep at night or whatever because it's just eating you.
Or you might not be so driven or motivated or passionate about it if you don't truly believe in it.
That's right. Yeah. So know, believe, do. You must do something about it in order for anything to actually happen. There's some other. So Holy Family Radio, what a great situation. And whatever we were talking about earlier about mismatched tax profiles. Somewhere a long time ago, you were just chasing, you know, putting money into those tax deferred vehicles, and you didn't even think about it. And so that's, maybe you were doing something, but the doing was not very lined up with where you're actually trying to go. And we'll be covering more of that in the fourth segment. One other scenario that I wanted to highlight here is let's pretend that you have investments and you'd like your investments to be aligned with your values and your convictions.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about that often.
We do. Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we had an episode where we were talking about reading a prospectus to understand what was actually happening inside of that.
Or more specifically, with their advisor, making sure that those values align.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's say that your advisor does not share your convictions.
Mm.
Oh, we'll talk more about that in the fourth segment, right? But that's a real problem, or it can be a real problem. So in terms of, you know, action, let's just kind of dial back. What if my action really is, again, not realistic? Like, let's say that I have a goal. My definition of success is that I'm going to become the president of the United States.
That's a lofty goal.
That's a lofty goal.
I mean, there's only been 45 of them ever. So what are the chances?
Yeah. I do something about it, or I have to dial down my expectations,
mm-hmm.
right? And otherwise, I'm simply sitting there living with an expectation that doesn't make any sense.
Right. You have a better chance of being a gold medal Olympian.
yeah, that's right. So there are some things then that are realistic and doable, and other things where we simply have to recognize, you know, limitations, or maybe understand that that's not really something that we're called to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm. What about like the moon landing?
Oh, the moon landing?
Now, what do we want to say about that? Was that realistic? Was that unrealistic at the time, you know?
When they first got started?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, that's...
1961, President Kennedy made that commitment, that goal for our country, to send a man to the moon and safely return him back to Earth by the end of the decade.
That's right. But then they started taking, again, action steps.
That's right.
In that direction. The Wright brothers did the same thing with the first airplane.
Mm-hmm.
If you visit, the Outer Banks.
Kitty Hawk
is where the first airplane was flown. Now, to be sure, they had a lot of accidents. A lot of things happened along the way. But they did not give up on their vision of what was possible. But at the time, you know, would we have described that as realistic or not? But they did something about it, right? Mm-hmm. They started taking action, and that action moved them in a direction where they felt called to go. And the result is that we have airplanes flying around all over the place today.
And that's how we got to the moon, by standing on the shoulders of giants before them and improving their technological advances.
That's right. And that's how, again, Ave Maria University came to be. It's how Holy Family Radio came to be, and so many other things that we know and love.
Yeah, well, good stuff. Well, folks, we're all out of time in this segment. We'll be back after this short break, and we will go over the third A, and I won't let it slip out. So you're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are wrapping up here in our fourth segment our discussion of the A in SMART.
Mm-hmm.
Where SMART is an acronym, the S stands for being specific, M stands for being measurable. A stands for being achievable. But we added two other A's, right? And we covered action.
James put his own twist on it.
That's right. We covered action in the last segment. But that's so important. For action, for anything to happen, somebody needs to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And so
what's our third A?
So the third A really is about alignment.
Ah, yes.
So, and we said, really, if these two A's, the action and the alignment, are not present, then the achievable is all messed up,
mm-hmm.
right? It just, it doesn't happen the way that it could. Action must be in alignment with what you're called to, your definition of success. Think about what happens when an action is not in alignment with your definition. I mean, we'll talk through some things, but alignment is just, what are your thoughts on that, Eric?
I think it's pretty important. It's kind of like having a blueprint for a house, you know, and instead of following those blueprints, you just start building rooms at random. You might end up with a house, but it won't be the home you envisioned.
Hmm.
I mean, so it must align with your vision.
That's right. You know, 2.5 years ago, I decided that I was going to lose some weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing a little bit more exercise and changed my diet. And I actually dropped like 35 pounds.
That's good.
And then 2 years ago, shortly after I did that, I started playing steel guitar in a country gospel music band. And we were driving all over central Pennsylvania and southern New York and, you know, playing gigs.
So you probably had the road diet going on, huh?
And all of a sudden the road diet kicked in, right? That's right. You know, the burger here, slice of pizza there. And guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like the action was not in alignment with where I wanted to be. And, you know, the 40 pounds came back or 35 or whatever it was, right? We won't talk about that. We'll get off that topic here. But alignment, yeah, is if the action is not in alignment, then what you were hoping to achieve doesn't occur.
So what are some of the consequences of misalignment, would you say?
Well, I would say like wasted time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wasted resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you have XYZ as a goal, I mean, we talk about values-based investing all the time. So let's say you have that as a goal and your portfolio just doesn't reflect that. Then the opportunities that otherwise could have happened simply don't occur.
Yeah. And those wasted time and resources, they can leave you feeling exhausted and unfulfilled.
And frustrated.
And frustrated, discouraged, yes.
And disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Those negative emotions that come up from you not having a goal that, you know, is aligned with your values. You're not putting it in action. You feel like you're not getting anywhere. That can leave you feeling horrible.
That's right. This tends to show up, well, it shows up, for me, it showed up in, you know, the road diet,
right?
But it also shows up in places like our calendars.
How so?
Well, the way we schedule our time is either in alignment with where we're trying to go or not.
Oh, fair. Yep. Yeah.
Like you. I mean, you have already, you have your master's in business administration,
mm-hmm.
right? And, but you are now, as a financial advisor, you are pursuing the certified financial planner designation.
Correct.
And so you're enrolled to take classes over at Elizabethtown University or Elizabethtown College.
College,
right?
Yep.
And I guess after the CFP, the plan is to pursue the Master's of Financial Services.
Master's of Science and Finance.
Master's of Science MSF. And Finance, right.
Yep. It's a little bit different, but.
Yeah. So. This is going to require you to align several things. I mean, you had to take some action. If you would just sit around talking about that, hey, it's something I want to do, and you know, I mean, the first action you had to take was actually sign up for classes,
mm-hmm.
and now then you had to align your budget.
That's right.
Right. And what about the amount of time? I mean, when I studied for the CFP. Designation a number of years ago. That summer, I spent 260 hours studying. That was a schedule commitment. It showed up on my calendar. So if I had said, hey, you know, this is a goal, I'm pursuing this goal and everything, and every time you looked, you know, I was out on the lake, I was, you know, down at the shore, I was just doing all kinds of things other than actually studying, we would say my action was not in alignment with what I said my goal was.
That's true.
Right? So so alignment like that shows up on our calendar. It shows up on our calendar. And so we've got to be aware, again, of where this shows up.
And you as well, right, James? You're enrolled in the Chartered Market Technician Level 3 course at this point.
That's right.
Yeah. You've gotten through Level 1 and Level 2.
Levels 1 and 2 were not enough.
They were not. Now, let me tell you, folks, I read online that it said the pass rate for those exams is about 40 to 50% for each one of them. And he passed it on the first try.
Yeah.
I mean, you hold other designations, right? The Certified Kingdom Advisor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You hold the Chartered Financial Consultant.
Right.
Certified Financial Planner, which right. I'm signed up for now, and the Chartered Life Underwriter designations.
That's right. Yeah, so it just, you know, again, there's a time commitment to the study in order to get to there. So if your calendar is not...
I just think you're a glutton for punishment, to be honest. Well,
that could be. That's, you know, the action is not in alignment, right? but no, seriously, again... So you have this goal and this definition. I would like to be at this spot, and I have, I know what things are supposed to look like when I finish my study, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't align my calendar, right? If the actions that I'm taking in my schedule and the way I outline my time don't match, then I'm not in alignment,
mm-hmm.
and things don't move to the direction. And whatever I said is simply not achievable, right? If I'm not doing what it takes to actually get there.
And James, you know, you already are a highly qualified financial professional, but by tackling that CMT level 3, you're diving even deeper into the technical side of market analysis.
That's right.
And folks, this isn't just about letters after his name. You know, this knowledge directly translates to better investment decisions for his clients, whether he's managing their individual portfolios or guiding the overall strategy at the firm. So yeah. That is in alignment with what you're trying to achieve.
That's in alignment.
With what you're doing with your clients as your profession.
That's right. And, mm-hmm. you know, here on Holy Family Radio, you know, the folks at Holy Family Radio could say, hey, we're all about, you know, teaching, you know, good Catholic values to our listeners. And if instead of having quality programming like this coming on, let's pretend you had somebody on to talk about Corvettes.
Yeah.
Speaking of Corvettes.
Right. No, it just wouldn't be in alignment, right? I mean, it sounds silly, but we have to think about these principles when we're looking at, again, our own planning, right? And the way our investments are structured, the way we have our businesses set up.
And I think that's evident what Holy Family is doing, right? Because as you look down through the programming page, each show, you know, has a different topic. They have a different talking point that they're going on, but they're all teaching those good Catholic values in their own way, their own corner of the world, and how they're able to help folks.
That's exactly right.
We're trying to do that here for the financial side.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's another situation then where this alignment thing comes into play.
Mm, what's that?
So, again, we've talked about you want your values to be reflected in your investments and in your financial plan. And let's just say for the sake of conversation that you kind of sit down and you review everything and you decide that that's just not happening to your satisfaction.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so you take an action. You go talk to maybe an advisor that you've been working with.
Right.
And you lay out your vision and your conviction. And let's just say for the sake of conversation that maybe this advisor does not share your convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Then what? There's a misalignment there.
Absolutely.
Right? And then you have some other choices to make as to whether or not you want to, you know, evaluate and change some of those relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's important for the advisors that we have around us to help us in the direction that God's called us to go.
That's
otherwise,
right.
And it's a tough topic because it gets very personal sometimes, but it's important to keep that alignment in mind. Well, some other things that you can do, some other actions that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
Some other actions you can take. I mean, certainly you can keep listening to Money and Mission.
That's step one.
Step one.
Tune step in. Right.
That's right. Download. Give us a thumbs up.
Hit the bell. All the things they say. On
that's right. Send us an email. Let us know what we're doing well. What you'd like to see. But no, Money and Mission. Here we're helping you to think about again putting in place these action steps that bring God's kingdom to earth right here. Just like it is in heaven. A second thing that you can do if you're just evaluating and you're trying to get a perspective on that, we've referenced before Compass Financial Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a website, compassfinancialministry.org, in which there's great curriculum and books that you can buy that will help steer you and help you get a perspective on action steps and ways to align your faith and your finances like that. Another website, Kingdom Advisors,
mm-hmm.
kingdomadvisors.com. And if you are seeking out an advisor, you can go to kingdomadvisors.com and that will be a place to start in terms of seeing if there is an advisor that is in alignment with your own values.
And I like from a passage from Proverbs, it says, where there is no guidance, a nation falls.
Mm.
But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So don't hesitate to reach out like that. And this whole thing of having taking action and being in alignment is absolutely critical to making sure that the achievable part actually takes place.
That's right. I think that was a good one today.
That was a good one today.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We appreciate folks for tuning in. This was the most recent episode 9 on Money and Mission. And we look forward to talking to you next week. You are listening to WHYF AM 720.